want to say a very warm word of welcome this morning to our service of thanksgiving and remembrance. And we welcome all who are with us here in church, as well as those who will be watching us at home, both here and overseas, as we gather to remember with thanksgiving before God 30 people who had association with our parish. And we're very conscious today, as we gather, of families who didn't have the opportunity to have a funeral service here in church, and those whose loved ones' funerals had to take place in restricted circumstances because of the global pandemic. I just have to make a few practical announcements as we begin our service today. And the first one is that it's really, really important that you've given your name and phone number to one of our recorders for track and tracing purposes. So if you haven't done that, if you could do that before you leave, that would be really appreciated. And we also ask people, if you can remain in your seat at the end of the service, a steward will then tell you when you can leave. And if you just go out the same door that you came in, somebody will again sanitize your hands. And we encourage people just to make their way out towards the lawn or the car park for a chat with people around you, and just so we don't clog up the entrance to the church. In the current circumstances, we're not allowed to sing at our services other than with a socially distanced choir to lead our worship, and we're grateful to our choir for coming today to help us with that. And the words of all the hymns that are part of the service, apart from the first one, which is a photographic tribute, will appear on the screens. There's no collection at the service in the usual way that you might find at a church service, but if people do wish to make an offering, there are baskets at the back of the church. And I also just wanted to draw your attention this morning to this beautiful floral tribute on my right-hand side. It was made by Anna Lemon, and in this tribute there is a white flower representing each person that we will be remembering in our service today. I also want to say thank you to Linda Leonard, who has coordinated the updating of our book of remembrance, and Linda Campbell in the office, who has been liaising with you in preparation for this service. And thank you too to all our stewards and cleaners and our technical team. So the service is going to begin very shortly, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read an opening prayer to introduce our service. Then I'm going to read the 30 names of those who we will be remembering today. And then there will be a time of silence after that. And after that time of silence, I'll announce our opening hymn. So if we just invite everybody to be still and to be quiet, and I will then lead us in our opening prayer before we read those names. Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord God, to trust you not for ourselves alone, but also for those whom we love and who are hidden from us by the shadow of death, that as we believe your power to have raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, so we may trust your love to give eternal life to all who believe in him, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as we bow our heads in remembrance, we remember today with thanksgiving before God Hetty Gaw, Sally Thompson, Molly McGookin, Catherine Thompson, Mervyn Gallagher, Dixie Dillon, Cecil McKee, John Baird, Mary Clenahan, Jimmy Thompson, Ronnie Moore, James Mahaffey, Brenda McCrum, Peggy Barr, Eileen Hammond, David Hunter, Betty Stewart, Arthur Campbell, Sarah Bennett, Iris Cardi, Florence Law, Jim Kilpatrick, Herbie Seeds, Peggy Kennedy, Robbie Gallagher, Trevor Clenahan, Betty McGibbon, Jimmy Gallagher, Mary Hunter, and Roddy Evans. Amen. The Bible describes those who follow Jesus with all their imperfections as saints. And so as we remember our loved ones with thanksgiving today, we're going to watch a photographic tribute as the choir sing the hymn for all the saints.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us join together to confess our sins to God our Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the choir are going to sing for us a psalm of hope about the heavenly place, Psalm 84.
Thank you.
Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 5th chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Here ends our Bible reading. And we're going to stand together now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray.
Our special collect prayer for today. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Give us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those inexpressible joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being,
we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And now the choir are going to lead us in the singing of the hymn, Blessed Are the Pure in Heart. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As we welcome everybody to our service today, we're gathering for what I always think is one of the most important services of the year in our church. But I know that it's also, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the most difficult, especially if you have that personal connection with any of those 30 people whose names we read out at the beginning of our service and whose photographs we saw in that photographic tribute. But I believe that today's service offers all of us an important opportunity to do three things that are really, really important. First of all, today this service offers us an opportunity to remember with thanksgiving those people who had connections with this church community. So today is a day for all of us to remember with thanksgiving before God the people that they were, the gifts that he gave them, and the way that they influenced our lives for good. And I know that each of the people that we are remembering today touched the lives of those around them. They touched their friends, their neighbors, and of course, their immediate family. In fact, these people who we're remembering today, in many instances, were the people who shaped us
and made us into the people that we are today. So maybe they showed us how to do certain things. Maybe they passed on moral values and they developed our character. Maybe they were the person who passed on to us the most precious gift of faith in Jesus Christ. And so today, as we gather, we are thankful for these people, and we're thankful for their memory that lives on. One of the powerful things we reflect on today in this service is how, even after they have physically left us, these people continue to bear fruit in our lives. I know that I always feel proud, for example, when someone says to me, "That's exactly the sort of thing that your dad would have said or done," after I do something. And even though my dad is dead 27 years, I still feel that sense of pride that his spirit is at work and has impacted my life, and people notice that. And there is the knowledge that even after these people who we love have gone, they continue to influence us for good. But I'm also conscious that as we gather this morning, and because of the pandemic, some people and some families are gathering this morning, some will be gathering this evening at our evening service, I'm also conscious that this kind of service, it's quite countercultural, or it's even the reverse of the culture of our day, which does its very best to ignore the reality of death. Modern people don't always welcome the reminder that death is a reality that will impact each of our lives in the most personal of ways. And so the second important purpose, I believe, of our service today is to acknowledge our grief and our pain, that sense of loss that we all feel as we come together today. And it's a sense of loss that in many senses has been heightened for those who have lost loved ones during the pandemic, when the restrictions meant that we couldn't visit in hospital or in nursing homes as frequently as we normally would if times were normal. And of course, funeral services were conducted in very restricted circumstances, just as this one is this morning. People couldn't come to your house or hug you or shake your hand or gather around you in large numbers to offer their support as we would normally do on such an occasion. It seems quite bizarre to me that Jesus, in his teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, which we heard this morning, would say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And the blessing that's described in that phrase, when it's translated from the Greek, it's about a joy that has a mysterious secret within itself. It's about a joy or a blessing which is serene and untouchable, and which is completely independent of the changes and chances of life. A joy, in other words, that even goes beyond our circumstances. It's a joy or blessing which sorrow and loss and pain and grief are powerless to touch. And it shines through tears, and nothing in life or death can ever take it away. Sometimes it's hard to marry that description of the blessing in mourning, which is from a biblical commentator called William Barclay, with the crushing sadness that we experience within ourselves when we've lost someone who we love. And it's been pointed out to me on a few occasions, and certainly in reflecting on times of sorrow in my own life, I would say that it is true that sorrow can teach us significant things. Many a person has discovered in the time of sorrow their fellow man or their fellow woman and their Lord as never before. And sometimes it is that compassion and comfort that's embodied through God's people that makes so much difference. So today, while we all might be socially distanced, the reality as we gather together is that we're here for each other as we acknowledge this shared difficulty of this painful journey of grief that we're all on. And when things are going well in our lives, it's possible to live very easily on the surface of things. But then when sorrow comes, we're driven to the deep things of life. And often in that place, the deep place, a new strength and beauty comes alive in our souls. So today we remember, today we acknowledge the pain and the sadness of loss. But today we also want to proclaim, finally, that the Christian faith has a great deal more to say on the subject of death. In fact, the Christian faith offers, in the midst of our loss, a hope that I believe is unrivaled. And we recognize today that that great victory that Jesus won over death when he himself died for our sins on the cross at Calvary and 3 days later rose again. For the Christian believer, death does not have the last word, thankfully. But when our bodies decay and fail, there's a much bigger picture to hold in front of us. And it's an eternal picture in which all things are made new. As the book of Revelation puts it, this new eternal reality in the life that is beyond this life is a place where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain, as it's a place where God makes everything new. And to me, that's such a powerful and beautiful picture as we gather today for this service. In reflecting on his own mortality before he died, one of my favorite Christian writers, Henry Nouwen, he wrote about the experience that he had when he went to watch a circus performance. And he was particularly struck in that performance by the trapeze artists and the grace and the beauty of what they were doing in this circus performance. And when he was reflecting on that experience and he was thinking about his own mortality, he compared the process of dying to being the flyer in that transaction of a trapeze artist. And he saw the Lord as being the catcher. And this is what he said. He said, dying is trusting in the catcher. And caring for the dying is saying, don't be afraid. Remember, you are the beloved son, the beloved daughter of God. And he will be there whenever you make your long jump. Don't try to grab him. He will grab you. Just stretch out your arms and trust. Trust, trust. So often, whenever people have endured serious illness, our abiding memories of them are very often memories of struggle and pain and decay. And the Christian faith tells us that Jesus wants to offer us a new future, where all of those things which held us back have had their day. And the other beautiful promise that's held out to those who have put their trust in Jesus is the offer of being reunited in his nearer presence with those who have gone before us and trusted in him. And so it is to these eternal realities that we turn today, and we place our trust afresh in the one who has the power to not only sustain us, but transform us and ultimately give us the victory. To him be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. We want to pray at this time for all those who are in positions of considerable responsibility in government, those involved in healthcare and medical research at this time of global anxiety. Almighty and all-loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray to you today through Christ the healer for those who suffer from COVID-19 in our land and across the world. We ask you to give great wisdom to our government leaders and to our policymakers in the decisions that they take. We pray too for special strength and grace for all our healthcare professionals and medical researchers. We ask you to give comfort to everyone in distress and a real sense of your presence and calm to all of us in these times of uncertainty and distress. And this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who showed compassion to the outcast, acceptance to the rejected, and love to those to whom no love was shown. Amen. And as we pray for all the families bereaved in this past year from our church family, we also want to pray this morning for the families of Billy McKim and Tom Hughes, who will be laid to rest this week. So, Lord, we ask for your comfort and strength for all who mourn. Grant, O Lord, to all who are bereaved the spirit of faith and courage, that they may have strength to meet the days to come with steadfastness and patience, not sorrowing as those without hope, but in thankful remembrance of your great goodness in the past, and in the sure expectation of a joyful reunion in the heavenly places. And this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy in this time of uncertainty and distress. Sustain and support the anxious and fearful, and lift up all who are brought low, that we may rejoice in your comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we want to just take a quiet moment now to pray for any who are particularly on our hearts as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
And now the choir are going to lead us in the singing of the hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God give you grace to share the inheritance of his saints in glory, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. just before we sing our closing hymn, I just want to say thank you so much to everybody for coming to our service today. And just to remind you, please, just to stay in your seat until one of the stewards indicate that you can leave. And then if you make your way out that same door that you came in. Our closing hymn for today's service, the hymn, Thine Forever, God of Love.